a laugh, there's a help in people. But Tom Price talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Mark Toaster. Oh, oh, it's my mate, Mark Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's my mate.
Welcome back to another episode of Toasted. This is the My Mate Bought a Toaster spin-off slash sister episode slash husband and wife talking about the previous episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. Just so you know, just to set the set now, we are in the usual studio which we use, and our two dogs have just come charging into the room. Beth, how are your stress levels with the dogs?
It's just very crowded in here.
Yes. Yes, there's too many heartbeats in a very small space right now, which suggests the solution is to kill the dogs, and I don't want to do that. But apologies if you're not a fan of this noise. Well, that was my stomach there, but also also the noise. then I'm sorry. But she'll calm down in a minute, and I'm talking, of course, about the dog, not about my wife, Beth Murray, who is here as ever. Hello.
I'm very calm.
You're very calm. You weren't a minute ago. I mean, again,
I'm slightly irritable, but I'm very calm.
More context is that about 5 minutes ago, you were shouting at our children because they were being, to be fair, infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
So annoying. But that's fine, though. That's all done. So we can talk about Kelechi Okafor's episode, please. Your headline thoughts, please, Beth Murray.
She has done everything.
Yes.
It's such a varied career.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
All the things she's done, and I got the very strong impression that she's just getting started. Did you feel lazy and useless?
Yes.
Is there anyone who you would, at the age of, I'm assuming, I didn't even get the number out of her, but a ridiculously young age, dash off to attempt to find? Because, of course, that's what she did.
I hadn't heard of the person. Sierra. Is that, who is that person? I hadn't heard of her.
Yeah.
So I couldn't, like, work out who my equivalent.
Sorry, I'm just getting the dog on the chair. There we go. Yes, that is my question. Who would you most like to dash off and attempt to find in a very ramshackle way, it must be said?
It was so random. Mm. Is to kind of move there to be friends, to be best friends.
Yes, you've got to go and find them.
Well, it's not a singer at all. I think I should be best friends with Tina Fey. So I'd go and hang around the SNL studios,
yeah,
you know, 15 years ago, and just try and hang out with her.
Yeah,
I guess, is the equivalent.
Yeah.
And that I'd probably have about as much success.
Yeah, it's a problem. What I don't like is whenever I do my interviews, which occasionally I do on Magic, I have to, you know, whenever I get this big superstar celebrities and who I like, I want to be their friend.
And it's disastrous for interviews.
It's a disaster for interviews because then you just overlaugh and you're not yourself.
Yeah, you're not thinking about anything other than, do they like me?
Have I told you who I might be meeting soon?
Yes, but I've forgotten.
Prince Harry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like him. I'm quite a fan of him.
Yeah, you read his book, didn't you?
I did read his book. I thought it was excellent. I thought he wrote very, very well about an incredibly traumatic upbringing. I thought he was spot on, in fact. So
I'm sure he's perfectly decent, but I don't think you'd have that much in common.
But also,
whereas me and Tina...
No, I get that. I get that.
We're meant to be.
Yes, and that, you know. But the thing is, here's the thing with Harry. Because we have a similarly traumatic background, his possibly trumps mine, but, you know, let's not get to top trumps when it
but
comes
also
to
not the same background. Not, I just want to be clear here.
Yes. Well, no, I had a bit more land than him, to be fair. but you have that thing where, having read, he talks about all the, you know, the damage and all the awfulness that happened to him as a kid. His mum died, and I think, gosh, I'm going to meet him. And I read what he wrote, and it struck me, and it really resonated. And I think I'm meeting him at this like dinner thing. And if I do meet him, which is unlikely, really, in all reality, I'm probably going to have 4 seconds to go, "Hello, nice to meet you." Part of me still thinks I should go, "Can I just say, I really like..." Can't do that.
No,
can't. You cannot do that.
No, don't do that.
Any of that gubbins.
No.
So what do I do? Just go, "Hello."
You could probably recommend some private schools.
That's what he's looking for at the moment, isn't
he? Yeah, no, they're not looking.
Don't bother me. Go state. It's much better.
Could recommend our state school.
There's no VAT. Anyway, Kelechi was wonderful and I loved her.
She's amazing.
The person, by the way, since you ask, who I would dash across the world to attempt to befriend, because you said Tina Fey, mine's in a similar world, Jason Bateman.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Bateman.
You really like him.
I love him. He does, I think it's called, the podcast is called Boundless. I think. Gosh, we're very tired tonight, so all our references are going to be off. And he's endlessly funny, drips with sarcasm, and also loves his golf. And he directs and writes as well as comedy acts with perfect precision.
So where do you have to go to hang out? Because I'd have to go to New York, 30 Rock, which is pretty cool.
I'd have to go to LA golf courses. I'd have to go to poor you. So do you think our kids will be okay if we do that? If we just naff off to try and... Kelechi was talking about a moment in her life when she could do that, when she could just...
Where is it? She went, it was Atlanta, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm. And then, you know, but it's just a really interesting, those sliding door moments are very interesting. When you go dashing off for a ridiculous thing and then some life happens. You know, it's very exciting. So that was one thing which I thoroughly enjoyed Kelechi talking about. Also, a lot of stuff that she talked about, talked a lot about fitness. I thought that was very interesting.
She's done every fitness fad known to mankind and womankind.
Yes, she has. She has been a fitness instructor. I tell you what.
Terrifyingly fit.
Terrifyingly fit. But also, let's just take a moment to appreciate, and I want to dwell on this observation, because I want this observation to land with everybody. A man who has a woman as a personal trainer.
Oh, her hot take.
Yeah, her hot take is a man who is together and is a, you know, I can't remember how she put it better than me, but I thought that was a very
I think hot take. Any man in any profession at all who's willing to be instructed by a woman has got it together.
Yeah, okay, good. Fine. Noted. Sorry, can you not talk over me when I was trying to talk then? no, it's true. So I thought that was really interesting. And look, let's talk about the pole dancing gym, the pole dancing instruction that she did and the twerking stuff she did. We've had an email about twerking, by the way. Do you want to hear the email? You can email the show, tom at toasterpod.com. This is from Priya in Leicester. Hello, Priya. Hello, Toasted. I'm writing regarding Kelechi's idea for geriatric twerking. I teach a weekly dance fitness class attended mainly by women in their 50s and 60s. And I can confirm that geriatric twerking already exists.
Of course it does.
We just haven't branded it properly. The key features are, number one, nobody goes all the way down. Don't worry, I'm sniggering at that. Number two, any floor-based movement is considered optional. Very nice. Number three, every routine ends near a wall so people can use it to get back up. So they sort of, I imagine like crabs all move towards the outside of the room. Number four, the noises we make are absolutely part of the choreography because it is quite a sort of grunty process.
Yeah, it's hard twerking.
We also stop halfway through for a drink. Our oldest member is 74 and has better rhythm than everyone else. She does, however, require approximately 3 working days to recover. Thank you, Priya. In Leicester, geriatric twerking is a thing.
There's a pun title there, isn't it? Geriatric twerking. I can sense it, but I can't get there.
Yeah, don't. You'll stop me.
I know, I won't be able to think about anything else now.
So, yes, have you ever tried pole dancing?
No.
No.
And I've also got no upper body strength, which you really need for pole dancing.
Yes,
it is. But it's really hypnotic to watch when it's done well. It requires such suppleness and strength and elegance, none of which I have.
I think the life experience, the thing that you learn from Kelechi is she won't be told what to do, but also because of the fitness instruction, she's quite happy to tell people what to do. And you have to look no further than the radiator incident, the gold radiator.
Gold radiator.
Where and we have put a link to this. There's a bunch of links on the episode today for things from Kelechi's episode and a few other things Beth and I are going to recommend. Don't forget, they are affiliate links and we get a paltry commission of approximately 5%, I believe, if you use those links to buy stuff. So whatever, there you are. I have to tell you that. But the thing that she talked about the most... Sorry, I'm distracted because our dog...
is flattening the savannah grass to lie down.
That was
about 40 circles of the carpet.
She just circled so many times and she'll get up again in a minute. It's so irritating. Anyway, the thing she bought, which I put a link to on this episode, there's two things I put a link to on the episode. One of which is a sign saying, do not sit here, right?
Why did she not want them to sit on the radiators?
Because it was a gold radiator and they were going to break it. And it was boxed off. It was a boxed bit of radiator.
Oh, yeah, so it wasn't ideal.
And the other thing she actually bought was the spikes, right? So I put a link to the spikes. And you know you can buy those spikes you put on walls to keep things
off. Keep pigeons off.
Yeah, look at this, right? So I've looked up various examples
of this.
They're
really little spikes.
And you can see, click on the link on today's episode if you are looking to buy spikes to keep animals off any walls near you.
Or people off your radiators.
This is a video that a lady has put up. I'm going to play it near the microphone so you can hear it. So forgive the slightly amateurish sound quality here. But this is a video on Amazon. This is a review of the Spikes products. And if you look, what you can see is that's kitchen counter.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yep, got these to keep my cat off the tabletop, which she sleeps out when we go to bed at night. So,
oh, poor cat.
Scuppered.
Isn't that hilarious? She has bought Spikes, which she's put a trap, basically, across all the counters in her kitchen.
But she has to stick them to the counters.
No, I think
so. Talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But
got spikes on her counters.
She's got spikes on her counters. And then there's quite a lot of people reviewing the spikes.
They're spiky.
Works well. Strong, hard spikes that will last years. It's good to know, isn't it? When you sit there, when you sit there in your pigeonless garden, you get those spikes.
I want my spikes to be strong and hard.
They'll see me out. Seems to keep those lovely, destructive foxes out of the garden. Update! Then it comes charging in with an edit. Update! Hard to believe, but I witnessed my neighbour's cats, two of them, walk along the outside of these really hard spikes put on standard trellis panels, which are on top of my new fence panels. They won't stop determined cats.
No.
This feels deliciously suburban, doesn't it? You can imagine this man. He's probably called Derek. And he sits in his back garden near the trellising. And then what's hilarious about this is there's lots of pictures of people putting the spikes up on the fencing. And I mean, I'm telling you about this product because, you know, oh, here we go, someone else has another video here. Because, you know, there's a link and you can click on it and buy this stuff. But I'm going to be honest, it looks awful. Don't you think?
Well, that's my main problem. I was thinking about the golden radiators, how they can't have been improved by the spikes.
Yes.
Because they don't look very nice.
I didn't want to insult Kelechi's.
No. I mean, I'm sure her studio is very nice.
Yes.
But spikes on the gold radiators must have taken away from the effect somewhat.
Also, spikes in a pole dancing studio just feels wrong. Do you know what I mean?
It does. It's a bit SM.
Oh, there you go. Safety word. But look at all this. Look, someone has put the spikes all along their fence on the top of a birdhouse. That's a little birdhouse.
That's people gone out of control.
People have really gone out of control. Spikes, and of course, the most evil sort of version of these spikes. People put them out
on benches to stop homeless people. Oh, it's awful.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I think I'm anti-spike.
I think it is now the policy of Toasted that we are anti-spike.
Don't put an affiliate link to spikes.
Well, I will put it there, but no one will use it. What you can use instead is the Do Not Sit Here sign, which I'm putting an affiliate link to.
That's like that. We saw it the other day, that sign that's near our house that says Do Not Urinate Here. And the sign is so ugly that I would rather people urinated there than have the sign.
100%. What is going on with
that
sign?
It's a disgusting sign.
It's a disgusting sign.
It's an eyesore.
It's a man standing. You can't see any winky woos, but you can see a stream of urine
coming out of his where his penis would be.
Thank you. And it looks, so what you've done is, don't urinate here because presumably there's an element of obviously hygiene-wise is the main one, but also it's an eyesore, right?
It's horrible.
But then you put a picture of the eyesore.
And you're also sort of giving people the idea that they could urinate there. That's a possibility. You're putting the idea in their mind.
Yes.
Let's buy some spikes and cover that sign in spikes.
I'm going to put a picture of the Do Not Urinate Here sign because I've taken a picture of it.
Yeah,
there's also
it's really upsetting.
There's also another sign which has appeared in our lives this week, which has been extremely pleasing for everybody, which is there's a fair nearby. And again, I will put this in the episode description as well.
People might be offended by this.
I won't drop the word. Don't worry.
Don't.
There's a fair nearby and they've used AI to do the image of the fair.
Yeah, it's an AI-generated image.
And they haven't checked the lettering.
No.
And I'm good. Do you know what? I'm going to leave it at that because one of the stalls has got Tom on there.
Or Tom or Ton. It's not quite clear.
And the next word.
It's a very bad word.
I'd say one of the worst.
And it unequivocally is that word.
Yes. And that is a fair that our kids have been to. And let me tell you, that stall did not exist.
No.
That was not a stall available.
I don't even know what that stall would be.
No, that's not something I want to think about. Thank you very much. Presumably, it would just be manned or womaned by people who've bullied me, saying terrible things about me, which probably does exist in my nightmares. All right, we're getting towards the halfway stage. Still to come, we'll be talking about tarot.
I have thoughts on tarot.
Tarot cards. We'll do a link for tarot cards. You can buy them.
Yeah, yeah, why not?
We'll do tarot. We've got a few more listener emails to get through as well. Specifically, actually, one thing we're going to talk about as soon as we've got to the break is numbing cream.
Yes, I have very big thoughts about that.
Fine. Okay, big thoughts on numbing cream coming up in just a moment after this commercial break, which may not have any adverts in. You might just be a tiniest little blip and then you'll be back. Stand by.
Find us on Twitter and Instagram. At Toasterpot is the name we're trying to jam. It's simple like a sunny film with cheese and ham. At Toasterpot, at Toasterpot, at Toasterpot, I swear it's not a scam, I think.
Hello, welcome back to Toasted. This is the spin-off episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. So, should we talk about numbing cream, which Collection bought? Go on.
I had no idea that this was a thing. I knew that numbing cream existed because I think we got some when our son didn't want to have his COVID jab.
Oh, yeah.
He got really upset about it and we got kind of like anesthetic cream.
That is one of the words you really struggle with.
Anesthetizing is what I was trying to say. Mm. The idea being that you rub it on your arm before you have, like you have it in the dentist sometimes. They put anesthetizing cream on your gums before you have the injection.
Yeah, but they don't use the same cream they use here.
I figure it's all pretty similar.
Yeah.
I assume it's the same sort of thing. And I imagine that's what numbing cream is. But it's never occurred to me that you could put it on your feet.
Mm.
To protect them against
yes.
heels and squashy shoes.
Yes, yes. So it is a thing, numbing cream.
I had no idea.
It's called, there's one here, which is called, Beth, there's a plantar fascia comfort soothing heel and foot balm.
Ooh,
because you've got your plantar. Rock and roll.
Plantar fasciitis. I've got it in my heel. Maybe I could rub numbing cream all over my heel.
So here we go. So there's a thing called extra strength neuropathy cream.
Neuropathy.
Thank you. And a professional grade neuropathy cream. Soothing comfort for nerve discomfort, tingling and numbness for a calming experience.
The trouble with wearing it to be able to wear uncomfortable shoes is that it seems to me to be fraught with danger because you're not going to notice when you get blisters and when your feet start to bleed.
Oh, might you be? Yes, go on. No, go
and
on.
Then
yes.
You'll kind of get back and take your shoes off and your feet will be a bloody pulpy mess.
Hello to Sarah in Guildford, who's emailed tom@toasterpod.com. Make sure you drop us an email, please. Hi, Tom. I was shouting at the podcast when Kelechi revealed that she uses numbing cream so she can tolerate uncomfortable shoes. Please tell her this is not a solution. It merely prevents your feet from filing their complaint until the following morning.
Yes. It just comes back worse afterwards.
I know this because I once attended a wedding in a pair of heels which I had purchased online and refused to admit were too small. At some point during the reception, another bridesmaid produced numbing spray from her handbag. We applied it in the toilets. It sounds feels quite naughty, doesn't it? And congratulated ourselves on having beaten the footwear industry. I danced for... That's our dogs going off because our children just walked back in their house. Beautifully done. I danced for 4 hours and felt fantastic. The next morning, I discovered that I had lost both little toenails.
Ooh.
That's like torture, isn't it? Ooh. Useful if someone is coming after you torture-wise. If you are about to be tortured, get some of the numbing cream.
Just put it all over. But the problem is you're just deferring the inevitable. You're going to have the pain.
Yes, I'd acquired a blister roughly the size and shape of the Isle of Wight. The shoes had won. I simply hadn't been present for the victory. Love the podcast, Sarah Ingleford.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me.
No. I mean, it's a very risky thing to do. Now our kids are making loads of noise coming in the house. It's a very domestic episode tonight. Numbing cream. Look, again, we'll put a link down, but you've got to keep an eye on what's going
Not
on.
Not a fan.
Maybe you are, if you are due to go in for a torture, then it is quite useful. How long, by the way, and we're at the moment, we are obsessed with Lioness.
Obsessed.
Obsessed with Lioness. If you've not watched it, it's on Paramount Plus. It is so good. Zoe Saldana is incredible. Nicole Kidman.
Oh, I think that everybody incredible. In it is great.
Anyway.
Her whole team of soldiers, they're hard as nails.
They're brilliant.
Very
it's
sexy.
It's a really great bit of TV. Cannot recommend it enough. And there's a lot of torture, isn't there?
Are you suggesting numbing cream might
if
be
If they'd taken
solution?
The numbing cream, she might have... No, what I would say is, and I always think this when I watch it, how long would you last in that situation?
Like a second.
Not even a second.
No.
I'd go, right, pin number 3921.
But I would say that there's probably like a kind of half and half of the population who like feeling numb and don't like feeling numb. And I've always enjoyed feeling numb.
I?
Like after an injection that numbs you, it's nice.
I absolutely hate feeling numb.
Yeah,
when I have an injection on my teeth, and any kind of thing you get on the sofa, I slap my face, I'm prodding it the whole time. Which, when I had an arm block, I had an operation on my wrist, and my left arm was
totally... Whereas I quite like it.
It was just a prolonged panic attack. Numbness for me is a form of panic.
I long for numbness.
That's so weird, isn't it? You want to be comfortably numb, and I am uncomfortably numb. Elsewhere, we then get on to tarot stuff. We got into the spiritual zone.
Yeah.
I thought I did very well.
You did.
Because internally I was going, but actually we had a really good chat about it.
But you've got to be, you know, open and respectful to other people's beliefs, even if it's not quite your thing.
Yes.
I used to do a lot of tarot at university.
Did you?
I did.
Did you really?
Somebody bought me a pack of tarot cards as like a present or something. And I got into the thing where whenever I was drunk, which was a lot, I would do tarot readings for people.
Right.
And I did it so often that I became extremely familiar with the cards and what they meant.
This is,
so
I mean,
it became that I was really, really professional at reading tarot for people, simply because I'd memorised what everything was, so I didn't have to consult anything. I just knew what it all was.
Yeah.
And Kelechi's right in that respect. It is about people just wanting to be seen.
Yes.
And wanting to be heard, and you bouncing back at them the thing that they already know.
Yes.
I mean, all the stuff about you're going to lose your job, I didn't believe. But saying things like you lack confidence, there's a gap in your life that you're waiting to be filled, you know, stuff that's going to resonate with people, it helps.
Yes. It is a sort of form of therapy, isn't
it?
Yes. You're having your life reflected back at you.
But I'd forgotten about the fact that I used to do this.
Did you have any form of sort of guidebook or anything?
Yeah, this? I originally had the guidebook, but like I say, I got so familiar with it that I didn't need it. I knew it by heart.
You became like a sort of, you know, someone at a fair, like a lady in a tent.
Yeah, with a crystal ball, yeah.
Is it worth, if the novel writing, Beth Murray, Google her, great novelist, if the novel writing falls apart, something to fall back onto.
I've forgotten all the stuff about the major arcana and stuff like that, and what upside down means.
Is it the case? And if you see death, that's not actually death.
It's not actually death. It just means like the end of something.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I mean, it's, you know, it is really interesting. Even if you don't believe in any of it, we had an email about tarot as well. In fact, which is from Jenny in Stockport. Hello, Jenny. Hi, Tom. Hi, Beth. I found Kelechi's explanation of tarot unexpectedly moving. Yes, I know what you mean, actually. Yes. Particularly the idea that people mainly want someone to look at them and say, I can see you for more than 2 minutes, which is what we always have. I'm a hairdresser, and it made me realise, I see, that this is a probably a large part of my job too. People book in for highlights, sit down, and then tell me about their marriages, their children, their affairs. Interesting.
But also it's about where you're looking. When you're looking at a hairdresser's, you're not looking directly at someone. You might see them in the mirror.
Yes.
So it's that thing where you're supposed to talk to your teenagers in the car because you're not looking at each other.
Well, and also because they're locked in.
Yes.
My dad always used to give me the bollockings in the car. I would know, we'd set off on the motorway, and as he got up to 70 miles an hour, as he got to cruising altitude, he'd go, right, your school report.
But that's a different thing. You're supposed to talk like confidingly with your teenager in the car because they can't look at you.
Yeah.
And tarot is the same thing. You're not looking at the person, you're looking at the cards. And so it allows you to kind of unburden yourself more indirectly than if you were staring at someone.
And presumably when someone's reading your tarot, you look down at the cards.
Exactly.
With them.
You're looking
Much
for
like
the meaning.
There's that thing, isn't there, about men, especially watching sport. So they're both looking at the tarot on the telly.
Yes.
And then they can say, I've not been happy in my marriage for a long time. Or whatever. Thing,
whatever
thing that springs to mind. Last year, one client told me, back to the email from Jenny, she was planning to leave her husband before she had told anybody else. She then asked whether I thought she should have a fringe.
New start, new beginning.
It's a yes to both. For the record, I supported the divorce, but advised against a fringe. She followed both recommendations and appears considerably happier. Perhaps hairdressing is simply tarot with better lighting. Wow, Jenny. It's all very profound.
Deep.
Very, very profound. Jenny, that's a real highlight of the episode so far.
Oh, lovely.
Thank you so much, everybody. All right, that's the Kelechi episode. Thank you so much for listening to that. We've got a brilliant bunch of episodes still to come. Jamelia is coming up in a few weeks' time. That's a fabulous episode. Chesney Hawkes is on the way.
Kevin Eldon.
Yes, goodness me, we haven't got that one out yet. It's brilliant. Before we finish, though, I've just got a couple of emails on topics from previous episodes of Toasted. Do you mind indulging me?
No, not at all.
In these. Lucy in Bristol has been on Unnecessary Headphones, is the topic. Following Toby Tarrant's confession that he can't stop buying headphones, I thought I should report that my husband has now reached 9 pairs.
That's a lot of money.
That's 18 headphones. Apparently, these are all different. There are headphones for work, headphones for running, headphones for travelling, headphones for proper listening.
Oh, I thought you meant he just kept losing them.
No, he's got
different occasion headphones.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to have a proper listen to the new album from Charlie XCX. So I'm going to put my big, you know, whatever, noise blockers on.
This is a dangerous email because I think it's going to give you ideas.
Yes, it really has. It really, really has. Earbuds for casual listening and an old pair, which must be retained because the sound profile is warmer. What a nerd. Warmer sound profile. All I can tell you is that I regret the years I used in-ear headphones. I really used to jam.
They don't stay in properly.
No, I know, and that's why I jammed them in, because I've got big earlugs. Mm. And it gave me tinnitus. I'm sure it gave me tinnitus. Anyway, last month, I caught him looking at another pair online. He explained that these would be useful when all the other headphones were charging. Wow! Really? This is Tarrant-esque. I pointed out that if 9 pairs of headphones were simultaneously out of battery, this was no longer an equipment problem. It was a cry for help. He brought them anyway. I mean, that is the ultimate thing.
Yeah.
And then finally, Dan in Ealing has emailed in. We had Nikki Chapman on the show a few weeks ago. If you've not listened to the episode, don't forget, loads of our episodes are available. I mean, they're all available right now. Just look at our stream, our page on wherever you're getting your podcast, and you can see over 100 episodes with some fabulous guests. Dan's talking about Nikki Chapman. Hello, Toasted. I have been meaning to write since the Nikki Chapman episode and her story about organising neighbours to water the newly planted trees. Do you remember?
Yes.
The community of looking after new trees is very important. Inspired by Nikki, I volunteered to look after the 2 young trees outside our house during a hot spell, i.e. this entire summer. This was initially quite wholesome. Unfortunately, it has escalated. I now monitor their leaves, remove litter from around the trunks, and I've had several one-sided conversations with a neighbour who allows his dog to use one of them as a toilet. My wife says I have become territorial about council vegetation. She's got you there, bang to rights. You really have. Last weekend, I bought a moisture meter. Yesterday, I found myself researching decorative slate. I am now 1 WhatsApp group away from becoming Nikki Chapman, and I'm not sure the other residents are ready. Dan and Ealing, I think that's fantastic.
Yes, I think he's just taking pride.
Yes, it's very good, isn't it? You should
in
engage.
In the appearance of his neighbourhood.
Yes. So, can I say, Dan, what a lovely sapling you've got. Mm. And thank you for getting in touch with the show. Don't forget, you can get in touch with the show. It is tom@toasterpod.com. And that brings us very neatly to the end of today's episode with Kelechi. Thank you very much, Beth Murray, once again for taking time out from your busy schedule of shouting at our children.
It was my great pleasure. I shall now go downstairs and shout at them again.
Yes, please do. And the dogs, of course, have now settled perfectly.
Mm-hmm. They're quiet as mice now.
Because now we've just about finished, they're going to be quiet, of course. Anyway, we'll be back next week. I think we're going to put Jamelia out next week, so brace yourself for that. It's a wonderful episode. And we'll be back with Toasted again very, very soon. Thank you. Goodbye. Please say goodbye.
Goodbye.